This is the weekly podcast from Radio Today. Coming up this time, James Ross is talking to speakers at Radio Days Asia in Kuala Lumpur. You'll hear from the CEO of Commercial Radio Australia, Mike Cass from Virgin Radio UK, the boss of UK Radio Player, Chris Stevens from Chris Country and Ignite, and the big bosses of two major radio software companies, and many more as well. Also this week, James Cridland assesses the power of radio, and David Lloyd has more brilliant archive audio from this week in Radio Moments.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio, the smarter way to make radio.
But first, Radio Today's editor and founder Roy Martin is here. Hello, Roy.
Hi, Stu. Welcome back. Are you well? Are you feeling better?
Yes, thank you for all your get well soon messages after hearing my voice on the podcast. Oh, hang on. No, I only got one person who sent me a get well soon message, and it wasn't even you.
And it wasn't me, no. I thought you were faking it, to be honest with you.
No, I am sounding a lot better and feeling a bit better. Yeah. Still got the dregs end of the flu, but there we are. It's good to be back.
I'll stay over here so you don't give it to me.
Good idea. Right, let's battle recommence then. Global versus Bauer, round six are we up to now?
I think we're up to 12, to be honest with you. This is exciting news just announced today as this podcast is released. Tell us the headline, Stuart.
So Global is, by the looks of it, turning some of its streaming playlists into actual proper radio stations on DAB, and it starts tomorrow, that's Thursday, with Heart 90s launching on D1.
That's crazy. So if you've been watching the Twitters and the Facebooks, Global has put a teaser out saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, leading people to speculate that 5 new radio stations are launching from Global, which is a massive thing. And they have confirmed today that the first one of those, as Stuart just said, is Heart 90s. And then there's going to be more. We don't know the exact timetable at this particular moment in time of recording, but maybe over the next few days or weeks, there's going to be 4 more radio stations, and they're all going to be on national DAB. So they're not playing games here, Stuart, are they?
No. So is there space for 5 more national DAB stations?
Well, we've been talking about this offline. They're obviously going to be DAB+. They're going to reduce some of their existing stations. This is all speculation, but what other way can they do it? Because D1 is pretty much full. So, yeah, a lot of stations are going to reduce. And probably, I think we've got confirmation from this morning, 5 brand new refocused radio stations launching from Global, which is massive.
They're going to have presenters, we understand. Certainly Heart 90s is having a breakfast presenter, like Heart 80s does, like Heart Dance does. And it's going to be Kevin Hughes, who has done some network shows for Global and GCAP before it. I think he used to do the evening show, didn't he, Kevin? And he's been on Heart Wales and Heart London and all sorts of other stations as well. So how many Heart stations is that now? So there's Heart, there's Heart 80s, there's Heart 90s, the Heart Dance, Heart Extra, does that still exist, or is that being replaced?
Yeah, Heart Extra. The speculation Heart Extra will go and Heart something or other will replace it, but I'm sure we'll find out as it all comes to pass. I've just been typing in the Radio Goss Twitter feeds whilst you've been talking there, and there is speculation. One of these has come true today. So Heart 90s is launching. That's the Britney Spears number one thing on the teaser video. 2 is probably Smooth Country, which already exists as a playlist, for a better word.
On Global Player, yeah.
On the Global Player. And then we've got Extra Reloaded, which is probably Capital Extra Reloaded, playing the old school. The other one speculated on Radio Goss's Heart 70s. And then the last one is Smooth Chill, which I didn't know Smooth could get any more chilled. But clearly there's something there, because that is a playlist on the app as well, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah. And Smooth Extra is already a lot more chilled than the normal Smooth, isn't it, as well, that's on D1 as it is.
I don't know. It's your refreshing music mix instead of your relaxing music mix. So, Heart 90s, and it's launching tomorrow, isn't it? If you're listening to this on Wednesday, then that's tomorrow morning. We presume at 6 o'clock.
As we mentioned, obviously, Heart 90s exists as a stream on Global Player at the moment. So I'm guessing the people at Global can see all the statistics of how popular all these playlist streams on the Global Player app are. And they've picked some that they think are going to turn into popular radio stations. And obviously, it delivers more hours and reach for the main Heart brand or the Smooth brand, doesn't it?
Yeah. And as you said at the beginning, it's the battle round 12 or whatever. That's because this started when Global launched all their playlists on on their app. And then Bauer a few weeks ago introduced 7 new, in inverted commas, stations. And now we're going back again with Global saying, well, wait a minute, we can do better than playlists. We're launching actual radio stations with actual presenters. So this is Global going one better, isn't it, really?
And that smooth country stream appeared on the Global Player just before Bauer launched Country Hits Radio, didn't it? And obviously, Global launched Heart Dance. One of the new streams from Bauer is Kiss Dance, as well as Kiss Garage and Kiss Ibiza. So there's a bit of, you know, anything you can do, I can do better kind of going on here. But I don't know. Bauer, obviously, a bit behind now because they've already got a lot of national stations. So if Smooth are going to launch Chilled, there's already Magic Chilled and Mellow Magic, isn't there? So they're kind of competing with those a little bit.
They're all catching up. And the thing about this is that Bauer claimed to have national radio stations when they're on about 5 multiplexes here, there and everywhere. When Global say national station, they literally are everywhere in the country on the biggest national multiplex available. So it'll be an exciting radar that quarter when the results come out. And good news if you're a country music fan, because until recently you only had Chris Country, which is fantastic. But now you've got Bauer's version, you've got Global's version. Wow. A lot of country music out there. Yeehaw.
Yeah. And we didn't really talk about the Bauer ones because we weren't really on last week to have a chat because of my illness. But so their 7 are Kiss Dance, Kiss Garage, Kiss Ibiza. And then interestingly, Classic Kerrang, Kerrang Unleashed, Heat School Disco and Heat Soundtracks. And it seems strange to me that they've kind of resurrected Kerrang and Heat after previously killing them off, taking them off DAB radio and just making them online stations. But they're bringing those back with brand extensions now.
Yeah, I think these comments were made on online somewhere. Surely you would have been better having those associated with your biggest brands, your Magic and your Absolute. So, yeah, but I'm sure they know what they're doing, Stuart. I'm sure they know what they're doing. They always seem to come out good in the end.
School Disco Hits would have worked and Magic Soundtracks, but, you know.
Exactly. We'll see what happens.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassoy.
So also in the last couple of weeks, we've heard a bit more detail about the CMA investigation into Bauer buying 4 radio groups. It's going to be a full phase 2 CMA investigation. That will report back by January. And it's just a bit more information about what Bauer had offered to do that we've heard, Roy.
Yeah, radio loves a good hold separate, doesn't it? Remember, of course, back to the GMG and Global days. So we've got, I think we already knew there were 3 areas which Bauer needs to divest some radio stations. And I think the report pretty much says which stations without saying which stations, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it's Sam FM and The Breeze in Bristol, Signal 107 in the West Midlands, and then 3 in Yorkshire, Trax, Dern and Rother from the Lynx Group.
But it doesn't say it needs to get rid of those. It says they're a problem compared with their current station. So Bauer could turn around and say, right, we're going to sell Hallam and keep Trax, Dern and Rother. I mean, that's obviously highly unlikely, but they could do that, couldn't they? That could be an answer.
They could, I suppose, yeah. I suppose they could. Yeah. But, I mean, the biggest stumbling block was FRS, wasn't it? First Radio Sales.
Yeah, First Radio Sales is a big problem for them, and Bauer have been very complacent about it, saying, no, we'll just carry on FRS for now and see what happens. And then they obviously, CMA's turned around and said, no, I don't think so. So that's what's causing the hold-up. Selling the radio stations is probably quite an easy thing to do, and they probably would have done that as they did with the other stations when the deal was announced, but they obviously thought they'd get away with these ones. So we'll see what happens. We've got another 6 months of waiting.
Yeah, interesting times. We get these every now and then. It usually comes around every few months, but bad words or inappropriate content in songs that are still getting played on the radio. Is it that hard to edit a song before you put it on the radio or put it into your playout system?
Well, when you've got one person doing 10 jobs, you know, yes, it can get missed. You're talking of Sam FM playing an F-word song, I think, which is you know, human error, and I've done it, you've probably done it. But the other one is Gold playing the old Blue Mink song and the lyrics about different races. So, yeah, that who knew that would be a problem, apart from Ian Lee, because he had a problem with it once. But I don't think Gold have ever had a problem with it, and they've been playing it probably for 40 years. So that's come off the playlist now. And yeah, hopefully people will find something else to complain about.
Well, a busy Ofcom broadcast bulletin this week as well. I think there were 26 complaints about LBC in this month, none of them upheld. And I guess our old friend John Myers would have said, 26, that's not enough. You should be more controversial, get more complaints.
Yeah, the thing is with LBC, they often appear in the is it fortnightly broadcast bulletin. There's usually probably half a dozen, but there was a particular lot this time, 26 complaints about different things. But as you say, none of them upheld. And yeah, they should have had more. They should have had more, I'm sure.
It's good to be controversial, get people talking, just as long as you stay within the rules. So lots of moves happening over the summer, lots of changes, lots of people finishing shows this week. So shout outs to them. So we're talking about Bauer Drive Time presenters and Smooth Drive Time presenters who are getting ready for network shows to take over their slots from next week. We also noticed over the summer that Dave Brown has left Smooth. So a special mention for him, 15 years on Smooth.
Yeah, it is a big week as well because the Smooth network isn't starting on Monday. It's actually starting on Friday night at 7 o'clock. So from the end of the Drive Time shows this Friday, if you're listening this week when we publish, so people who do the weekend shows on Smooth, including like Paul Jordan on Smooth Lakes, I saw on the socials, he did his last show last week, so he's gone already. Some shows are being covered this week, so that some people have already gone. So good luck to everybody if you are going due to deregulation, and fingers crossed you can find something else suitable very soon.
Other moves in the last couple of weeks since we've been off on the podcast, Jackie Blay taking over from Tony McKenzie at Pulse 1 and Pulse 2 in West Yorkshire. I think she's been on daily shows for about 17 or 18 years on Pulse 1 and then Pulse 2 more recently. Andy Roberts' quick departure from KISS, that was all announced very quickly. 26 years he'd been at KISS.
Yeah, he was at Rock FM in Preston when I was sort of trying to annoy everybody and get studio tours and things like that. So he's been doing that sort of radio for such a long time. I remember his hot mixes that he did at 6 o'clock at night on Rock every night, and he's done so much good audio over the years. So I have my suspicions about where he's going, and other people have got some predictions as well, so hopefully his next job will be announced very soon. Good luck to you, Andy.
Watch this space. A new breakfast show for Capital Extra. Jez Wellham left earlier this month. Yinka Bikini and Shayna Marie Birch Campbell take over. Yinka's been doing evenings on Capital for a few years, Capital Extra for a few years. Shayna Marie started earlier this year there, and they've been doing a show together on a Saturday morning as well. So a big change coming up at Capital Extra. There's a lot of other show changes around as well on that station. Details at radiotoday.co.uk. And Bauer's hired a new podcast editor. This is Maria Williams. She used to be at the BBC and Indies, Wise Buddha and Loftus Media. Sounds like they're really going for original podcasts in a big way, having somebody to oversee it all.
Yeah, quite a few of the big radio groups are going into podcasting. I think Communicore now do more podcasting than live radio, and who knows, in the future they might just be a podcast only company. Not just them, but others as well. So, yeah, if you're not doing podcasting, then I think the general message is that you need to be doing.
Absolutely. Lots of events coming up over the next few weeks. We're now, the summer's getting out of the way, we're back into event season. There's some workshops supported by Radio Today, run by Viamux, to find out all about small-scale DAB. They're happening through September, starting in Belfast. They're moving to Edinburgh and to Newcastle. And it's going to be Tuning in the North, Radio Centre's conference at the Bridgewater Hall in Manchester on the 25th of September, and then the end of October, 30th of October, the Drive to Digital Conference at the British Library, and of course the ARIA nomination, or the ARIA shortlisting process, will be starting soon. You can start getting your entries in the next few weeks.
Fantastic. Are you into some of those?
Yeah, we'll hopefully see people there, won't we?
Definitely.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Now on the Radio Today programme, let's take you to Kuala Lumpur for this week's big radio event, and James Ross.
Here we are at Asia Radio Days. I'm with the co-founder, Anders Held. Day one's done. We're on to day two. Anders, how does it feel so far? What's the vibe like?
I think it's terrific meeting all these people who are really excited about getting into a meeting place like this. People come from across Asia, from Tokyo, Mumbai, Jakarta, Shanghai, and also from a lot of people from Australia and Europe and America. So it's really a unique meeting point where the radio and audio industries from the West are meeting with Asian people who are in their different markets, having different experiences and sharing them here, and also learning and being able to move their businesses.
What inspired you to have Radio Days Asia? You've had a very successful run with Radio Days Europe. Suddenly, you're in Asia. Why do it?
Initially, it was Asians coming to Radio Days Europe and said, you know, wow, this is really interesting. Why don't we have it? We have a big radio industry. People are listening to radio. Millions of people are into radio. But we're not really thinking about all these things you are thinking about, how to develop techniques and content the way you are. So why don't you come to us and help us out? So we have been involved in Asia for quite some years on a much smaller scale with Asia Media Summit. So we have had set up one-day meetings in Korea, in China, Indonesia, India, a couple of places. And we found the time was right and the partners were right to try to do a kind of proper event in the style of Radio Days Europe, even if it's, of course, as a first, is smaller, but very successful so far.
And you brought in some relatively big names from Europe, Bauer Media, Virgin, Radio Centre from the UK, Radio Player and so on. Has that been an important part of what you've done here?
I think the Asians are saying, you know, what we want from you are those international contacts that you have, the access to these people and these organizations coming from America, Australia and Europe. So that's what they have been asking for. But our vision of this is actually also to give a perspective of what's going on in different parts of Asia. So they didn't really ask for that, but we think it needs to be a West meets East thing. So not just us coming to tell them what to do. It's the wrong perspective, because I also think we have a lot to learn about what's going on in Asia.
Mike Cass is content director from Virgin Radio UK. Surprise, you're in KL. What's up?
It's such an honour to be asked to come here and tell the Virgin Radio story. It's been a phenomenal 9 months with the station, so to get a chance to chat about that anywhere in the world is something that we'd grab with both hands.
1.5 million listeners every week is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, I mean, the story is obviously we had less than 500,000 listeners before Chris started, Chris arrives, and we're now at 1.5 million people listening for 10 million hours. You know, it's a fantastic number. We're really happy with it. And the journey has only just started.
It has been a journey this year for you, though, that, you know, Chris coming in at the beginning of the year, turning things around. So this 6 months, January through June, I guess, must have been quite a roller coaster.
It has been, and it feels longer than the actual 8 months or so that it's been. You know, in January, at the beginning of the year, we launched Chris, we launched Virgin Radio Anthems, Virgin Radio Chilled, we moved into the news building, all in the space of 1 week. Yet it feels that we're in the building incredibly comfortably. The show just keeps developing. We're looking continually at how we can improve the radio station. We changed the daytime lineup a couple of weeks ago and promoted Kate Lawler to drive time. She sounds absolutely phenomenal there as well. Tim Cocker's come down from evenings into daytimes. And yeah, that Monday to Friday lineup just sounds absolutely out of this world. But, you know, to continue to aim towards the aim for the radio station is to be the largest commercial music station on DAB. We're never going to stop until we get there.
It's difficult to balance, though, when you've got a talent like Chris in the morning. How do you program the rest of the station and keep it on an even keel?
I think I've always said that radio should just be as simple as talking to your friends, you know, and therefore programming a radio station isn't that dissimilar to throwing a party, having a dinner party, inviting friends around or something like that. If everybody had exactly the same personality, it would be quite a dull evening for you to attend. So the fact that we've got, you know, Chris preceded by Sam Pinkham, who's just had the most amazing energy for an early breakfast show, then you've got a music guru like Eddie Temple Morris to come in straight in after Chris, playing a lot of songs, but with a level of passion and knowledge about the music that is unsurpassed. Tim Cocker just fits in fantastically at lunchtime, and Kate adding a little bit more personality at drive time. You know, if you've listened to the show, you know that there's very few things off limit in her world, and you'll definitely find out more about her dogs than you thought was possible. It's a balancing act. You want people to make sure that there's something for them to listen to throughout the entire day, but obviously you don't want, there's not enough guests to go around to be able to have that level of guests throughout the day. So we try and balance it throughout the whole output.
What are your challenges, though? I mean, obviously you've got Chris leading the drive, but you've still got challenges.
Definitely. I think the biggest challenge for any digital-only station is getting people to make the switch. It doesn't matter whether you're Fun Kids, Virgin Radio, any of the new power stations that they've launched. It requires a level of investment. It's fantastic that people obviously can listen on connected speakers, on apps, but we still need to actually get the message out there as to how easy it is to make the switch and to listen. So I think for Virgin, our biggest challenge is making sure that as many of not just Chris's ex-listeners from Radio 2 know where he is now, but that people are aware that Virgin Radio is back. It's been back for a while. It's playing great music. It's got great presenters, and it's very easy to find.
We saw Zoe Ball's audience dropping a little bit in the last Radio round, and Chris is rising. Are they the same people?
I don't think you can look at Radar's audience measurement in that way. You know, you don't ask the same people survey on survey, so it's not possible to say that. I think Zoe does an absolutely stellar show, and when you take over anybody's show when they've had such a long run, it's very easy to throw stones. It's a very different show to Chris. The BBC were very open about wanting to create a different show to Chris, and they've managed to do that. You know, Zoe's still got an incredibly large audience of, you know, just under 9 million. I think it is just under 9 million listeners. There isn't a radio station in the world that would say that a slight dip there is something that they'd be ashamed of. It's still a killer set of figures.
But challenging times for breakfast audiences in the UK. You've got so many big breakfast shows now. How is it going to go?
See, I don't think it's challenging. I think it's fantastic. I think that actually having so many great breakfast shows is wonderful for the industry. And I think actually it'll revitalise the industry. And it doesn't matter whether it's Roman Kemp on Capital, whether it's, you know, you've got Tom Green over at KISS, you've got ourselves obviously with Chris, Zoe on Radio 2, the changes at Six Music, the changes at heart. There are so many radio stations that are putting their best foot forward at breakfast, and it's refreshing to see a level of investment from radio. It's refreshing to see that content really is something that is well and truly alive, and, you know, may the best show win. It's fantastic to have such a competitive marketplace, and knowing that actually you just can't afford to take your eye off the ball. You need to make sure that every single show you do is the best one you've done.
What's the next big thing for Virgin? Where do you go next? Are we going to see you on FM at all?
We're always looking at different ways of how you can listen to Virgin, but obviously there are no FM licenses coming up in the UK, so I think that'd be very hard for us to do. I think it'd be fantastic to look at supporting the entire D2 multiplex as to the ways of expanding how we can broadcast there. I think it really is for Virgin. We'll continue to look at absolutely anything. You know, the partnership that we have with Sky for the Chris Evans Breakfast Show has been game-changing in a commercial free breakfast show on commercial radio, and that partnership is working fantastically well for the pair of us. The content that they give us, the exclusive access that we get to their talent, you know, we put up the first episode of their new show Brassic online for people to watch for free before it even went out on Sky, and I think it's that level of creativity and innovation that we're just going to continue to try and push forwards. We do have that aim to be the largest commercial music station on DAB. We're not going to stop until we are.
Mike Cass, Content Director for Virgin Radio UK. Thanks, mate.
A pleasure.
With me now is Joan Warner, who is the CEO of Commercial Radio Australia. Joan, Asia big in terms of importance for Australians?
Well, I think it is, because we're right smack bang in the middle of it, and we feel really that we're part of Asia, the Asia-Pacific region. So we take a very active interest in what's going on across the region. And often, you know, we will offer to help our broadcast colleagues in Asian countries because, you know, we're very close. We're a few hours flight away, and we get on very well with our Asian colleagues. So it's very important for us to be here and be part of this sort of event.
You've got a strong and dynamic radio market in Australia. What's the vibe at the moment? Are you feeling the pressure from Spotify, podcasting, other ways of listening to audio?
Look, we see every new way of using audio as an opportunity for us. Now, we don't see us shedding listeners to music streaming services. What we see with various studies that we've done, like Share of Audio and The Infinite Dial, that what is shedding listeners or time spent is things like Apple Music, iTunes, or your own personal music collection. So we're not losing time spent with radio. Where Spotify is gaining, it's gaining from people's personal collections. However, we see podcasts as something that is good for radio, and something that radio has been doing for a long, long time. And we've got lots of content that we can use in a podcast in the form of catch-up radio. But many of our members of Commercial Radio Australia are also investing heavily in authentic and original podcasts as well that have nothing to do with their radio shows. So we see our power and expertise in the audio space as being probably a driver of podcast uptake in Australia.
Mike Hill, Managing Director of Radio Player, is here. Mike, world domination at your doorstep. I think you're in how many countries now?
Well, yeah, not quite world domination, but largely a European base so far. 11 countries right now, 13 by the end of the year. So yes, we're growing very fast.
So Radio Player is spreading its tentacles. Now, you're jointly owned by the BBC and Commercial Radio in the UK, yeah?
Yes, that's true. And now, of course, we have stakeholders in all those 11 countries because one of our main themes is that we listen very carefully to all the broadcasters that trust us with their content. So, you know, beyond the BBC and Commercial Radio in UK, we now have a body of broadcasters around the world who are helping guide our strategy and helping decide our technology roadmap. We do this stuff together.
So, in a nutshell, what is Radio Player?
Okay, well, it's a non-profit organisation, so we're not here to make money. We're here to try to safeguard the future of radio in connected devices, whether that's apps, smart speakers, or cars.
So how does that differ, say, from BBC Sounds or some of the other apps that are out there?
Well, we fit in quite neatly alongside those apps because, yes, you probably need a station app of your own where your listeners can have a very deep one-to-one relationship with your station. Yes, we probably need global aggregators like TuneIn, which can have 100,000 streams and give you the whole world's radio. Actually, Radio Player fits in quite neatly because in each country, it's about your country's radio. So there's a UK Radio Player, there's a Radio Player Germany, there's a Radio Player Canada, etc. So it's about radio from where you are. And we, as I said, we're guided by the radio industry in each country. And each market is different. So, for example, in Germany, we've used the Radio Player technology to make bespoke smart TV solutions because that's really huge for them. In Canada, there were different priorities. In the UK, there are different priorities still. But everywhere, people are interested in keeping radio strong, particularly in connected cars.
How do you convince the car giants to be part of this?
Well, actually, it's working quite well for us. We've got a very strong partnership with Audi and VW already, and we're talking to many other car companies. And it turns out they have a problem to solve, and we can help them solve that. They know that radio is important to their drivers. They absolutely know it's the most listened to entertainment medium, even in connected cars with other entertainment options in the dashboard. So they want to get it right. They also know it's quite challenging to make a radio experience in a car that looks modern and contemporary and visual and engaging. And so they need radio's help. They need our metadata, by which I mean our logos and our streams and our now playing information. So quite simply, there is a kind of value exchange here. Radio can get its act together, get all that metadata in one place, which is what Radio Player helps to do, offer it to car companies. In return, car companies can have a dialogue with us about the prominence and the usability of radio in that dashboard. And that's why the partnership with Audi is so strong. It's a two-way street.
Well, just up the corridor from Mike Hill is Mark Barber. He is the planning director for Radio Centre, also here at Radio Days Asia. Mark, Radio Centre moving out into Asia?
No plans to at the moment, but I think a lot of the stuff that we do actually is of a lot of interest to radio broadcasters around the world because we're quite lucky in the UK to have the Institute of Practitioners in Advertising and their amazing database about advertising effectiveness. There's nothing else like it in the world, so we can tap into that sort of analysis, use it to understand the unique roles that radio can play for advertisers, and take that out and tell the rest of the world about it.
So other people don't do this kind of thing that you do?
Well, this is the IPA, so it's not our data. We add to that with our own research on top of it. And so I think other people do their own radio research, but I guess we're very lucky to have an amazing platform to build on that gives context for everything we do. And I think also we're very lucky that Radio Centre is generously funded by the UK broadcasters to allow us to invest quite heavily in research that can reveal or open up new opportunities for the medium.
Good feedback from the audience here?
Well, yeah, so far, but I guess the people who come up and talk to you aren't exactly going to be the ones that think you were rubbish. So, very, very nice feedback. And I think, you know, people always value the research that we got. They can see how they can take advantage of it themselves and use it in their own market. And I sort of use the IPA data to sort of set out a construct within which our research can sort of help demonstrate the value of radio more effectively. And I think they appreciated and valued that as well.
With me now is Stefan Russell, who's the CEO of Bauer Media in Sweden, just flown in from Stockholm and just given a talk about how to make money from podcasting. And I guess that's the holy grail, Stefan. What's the answer?
Well, it took me 20 minutes to explain that in there, and it still wasn't enough. But I think the answer is that you should use the skills that you have in your radio business. You are going to sell advertising, you're going to do audio entertainment, you're going to do storytelling, and we know about that in radio, and you should just transfer that to the podcast industry or market.
You're a very optimistic guy. You know, what's your view of where we are with radio in Europe? And, you know, is podcasting taking our attention? Is it actually making an impact, though?
I certainly think it is, and the reason why I'm optimistic is that I think that radio companies are really the perfect companies to do audio entertainment on all platforms. I think we have to stop, if we are still doing that, to look at digital audio entertainment as an enemy, because we are better fit than anyone else to do that. So we should embrace it. We should add it to our FM radio business, because we know that on digital platforms, listening would grow faster than on FM platforms in the future. So we have to be there.
So if you're not doing podcasting as part of the array of services that you're providing as a radio station, what would be the tips that you would give folks? If you're not already doing if you're not already doing podcasting, perhaps as part of your radio services, what tips would you give those folks in setting it up?
To set it up is the first advice, of course, and to really start by taking podcasts that exist and try to get them over to your team, because that is a faster way than starting from scratch and building your own podcast. It's too much risk and much more difficult. Third-party content.
I'm with Mike Powell, who is in charge of international operations for RCS. Mike, here you are in KL. What does Asia mean to you?
Southeast Asia is actually one of my favorite places on the planet. I'm actually, people don't realize this, I'm an unpaid ambassador for Southeast Asia. That triangle, you know, Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore in particular, and you know, the periphery as well. I just think it's magical.
I think in history you're probably better known for the triangle between Cornwall and Surrey and maybe London. It's a long way, right?
It is, but you know, I've always enjoyed travelling. It's, you know, when Andrew Economus, who was the founder of RCS, sort of, you know, he came to see me. He knew that I did love travel, and you know, made me the offer I couldn't refuse, as it were. And I mean, I've worked for RCS now since what, October 2002. I can hardly believe that. It seems like yesterday I joined it. I still feel like I'm the new boy, you know.
So the tech business is big out here in Asia. Are you seeing your systems roll out in this part of the world?
Oh, absolutely. Southeast Asia is a big growth area for us. Actually, Asia, full stop, is a big growth area for us. I mean, we were very early into India. We have two very successful operations there, one for RCS, one for our sister company, Media Monitors. We you know, I don't want to boast about this, but the truth is we are pretty dominant amongst software vendors for the major stations, major groups in India. And then look at China. If we go to North Asia, for example, where we've got two offices in China, one in Beijing, one in Wuhan. I mean, that's a tough market, and we do very well there. And then, yeah, Southeast Asia, we have offices in Singapore, Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia.
So you see a pretty vibrant radio market in this part of the world?
Yeah, very much. And you know, what makes us laugh sometimes is, you know, we have people from this region say, you know, well, we're going to go to New York and we want to see an example of a really great radio station. The assumption being that, you know, that it's going to be better than they have in Asia. And generally, it's not true. I mean, in terms of infrastructure, in terms of modernity of the equipment, you know, the systems, whereas in America, you know, we like to say that we sweat the assets, you know, we run it until it goes into the ground. In Asia, generally, you know, people keep up with the latest technology. They want everything to look really, really good. And I think some of the lessons have actually translated back to Europe. I mean, I see studios in Europe that now look really modern, very swish, very 22nd century even. And I saw that kind of thing in Asia first.
Things have come a long way. I think you told me earlier that you've been in the business 49 years. Things have come a long way in that time. It's changed a lot, right?
It's quite staggering. When I actually think back to the first radio station I worked on, you know, well, that was Devon Air Radio, Exeter and Tor Bay in southwest England. And, you know, we thought we were highly advanced because it was the first, it was a twin station. I mean, it had two headquarters and certain programs, you know, originated from the different centers. But when the programming was central, you know, we did things like split commercials and stuff like that. And when I think back at the dance of all these tape cartridges going in and out of slots, trying to make sure that it was all synced up, I mean, it felt very futuristic. And now it's almost funny. When we put our first automation system in, which was Pirate FM in Cornwall, and then Star was after that in Slough Maidenhead, Windsor, you know, those early automation systems only had sufficient capacity for, say, your current commercials and your current singles, your top 40 singles. Everything else was on CD jukebox. One of those things went down, you were in big trouble.
So that was really your roots for innovation and getting into tech, probably.
Yeah, well yes. We were pioneers. And you know the old expression about it's the brave pioneers who usually get shot. We were shot a few times.
Mike Bell, thank you very much.
Thanks.
I'm with Roel Whittle, who is the CEO of Whittle Software. Yeah. What are your impressions so far of Radio Days Asia, Roel?
I think it's been great. We've been proud to be one of the founding sponsors of the Radio Days and of the Asia version of the Radio Days. We've been in the European version since I think the second Radio Day as a partner, and we're excited. And there's a good vibe, and a lot of people are enthusiastic and trying to learn things. And that's always good to see people trying to learn new things about radio.
Some of our listeners are very familiar with your products, but just tell us in a nutshell, what do you do?
Yeah, we do everything that has to do with the sales and the financial side of radio stations. So we do CRM systems, proposal systems, traffic and billing for traditional radio, but we also integrate with all kinds of digital systems.
What's your feeling about the global radio market at the moment? Are we in a good place?
I think we're in a good place. It depends, of course, on which continent that you're talking about, because in the US, there's been a lot of problems with the big groups, and that's kind of settled down now and coming to an end and stabilizing, coming to a situation where we can look further towards the future.
And the UK?
The UK is interesting. I think it's interesting that what's happening, of course, with Virgin and the way that they are trying to rattle up the market. Consolidation takes away some of the creative and smaller and local brands, but maybe that's the way that the economy is moving, and that's something that's bound to happen.
Chris Stevens from Ignite Jingles and Chris Country is with us now. Chris, I saw you on stage yesterday and you were talking quite a bit about the comparison between some of the other country stations that have joined you on the dial in the UK. Oh my God, the pressure's on, right, for Chris Country.
Well, it's an exciting time and it's great for the genre. My session was about sort of specialist stations and splinter brands and the opportunities that come from those, and it's a really interesting time. You look at the UK now, and then the UK is not alone in this, and suddenly there are so many more splinter brands and specialist formats appearing, whether it's the new KISS stations that were announced last week or the ones that Global are announcing this week. It's great for listeners. It's really cool. And yes, we mentioned the country stations, but even they're all very different in their sound and their feel.
You pioneered the new country for the last, 7 years or so, and suddenly the big names have found out about it?
Well, I think the genre has grown over those 7 years, yes. And we've certainly done our bit to try and pave the way. There's also been some really big festivals going on. But I think it's an exciting time. I think what we've got, which is great, is passion. Everyone involved with KISS Country is really passionate. We're, you know, pretty much independent, doing it out of the office in Media City, without much in the way of resources or whatever else. But I think the passion shines through on air, and it's interesting times. Very interesting.
But how do you stand up to that competition?
By being great at what we do, I think is the main thing. It's not about reacting to other stations or other competitors. It's about making sure we know what we stand for, doing it as well as we can, and making sure that passion for the music really comes through. Plus also, you know, we've been on for 7 years, so we've got 7 years worth of fantastic archives of interviews with the biggest names in country music that have been over to the UK, and that's given us a great opportunity to build up our social media following as well. We go to all the events that are happening, and I think if you listen to KISS Country, you know, it's clear that we love what we do, and long may it continue.
It's a long way from Salford to Kuala Lumpur. What brings you here?
It is a very long way, yes. So I'm here with my Ignite Jingles hat on. We make jingles for radio stations around the world. I came here for a couple of reasons. Firstly, I really like to support events like this. I think they're really good for the radio industry, and it's so exciting to get people together and learn from each other and discover what's going on. Plus also, it's a part of the world that I don't know enough about, and I thought the easiest way to learn more is to come here. We're lucky that we do have clients in Asia, and it's been great meeting someone for the first time and chatting with them. I always think the best way to really get to understand anywhere is to go there and spend time there. And I'm having a fascinating and very enjoyable week.
State of the jingle industry in Asia, how do you see it?
I think that's a good question. I think it's, listening around the dial, of course, there's so many languages and so many different styles of music that we don't have in Europe or in the USA. And that means you can't just take a typical package and make it work for every radio station. So, it was some of the presentations we've been watching with radio from India and radio in China and so on. I'm not sure that one of our packages written for a station in the UK is just gonna work, because the music is so different. But that also brings opportunities and excitement. I mean, we've just done a package for a Spanish radio station in New York that plays reggaeton and bachata music. Now, there's not that much of that in Salford, but you know, we really found it exciting to get into that and learn that, and I think there are different requirements here because the market's different, but also there's different regulatory issues as well that affect how clocks are going to work and that kind of stuff. I've been listening to fascinating conversations about radio stations that only broadcast good news because certain countries don't like bad news and things like that. It's really interesting to learn all that and then think about how that's going to affect the sound of a radio station or the junctions and so on.
Any good takeaways that you've found from this particular event?
It has whetted my appetite to learn a whole load more. I've been watching some very interesting sessions about, particularly India and China, I found fascinating, and the position of the media in those countries and how they are developing and changing. And of course, that's come to the fore a bit with some of the stuff happening recently in Hong Kong, in your neighbourhood, and how that might be reported or viewed from different places and so on. Also, just the passion that exists is so exciting. There's also been quite a lot of sessions about podcasting as well. Interesting to see how podcasting and radio are dovetailing in certain areas and not in others. So learning about that has been very interesting. There's been some good stuff from ABC in Australia about that.
Opportunities for jingle companies with podcasts?
Oh, well, yeah, because branding is branding. So, absolutely. In fact, we did the music for James Cridland's Pod News podcast, which he debuted about a month or so ago, and we made it a four-part sequence where each bit segs to the next, which is the same kind of mindset, really, as what we've been doing in radio for years, but just for a different audience and delivered in a different way. So, yeah, podcasting, absolutely. Great podcasts need great branding.
Next big thing for Ignite?
Oh, I can't possibly tell you that. But there's many of them. We have new packages going on the air in the Middle East and in Texas. We've had one in the UK recently as well. A lot of new stuff. I think this autumn is going to have quite a few new packages on our site, and that's really exciting.
Chris Stevens from Ignite Jingles and Chris Country, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
I'm with John Kirby, who is Programme Director of Channel 4 in the UAE. John, what are your thoughts on Radio Days Asia?
It's been absolutely beyond my expectations. I was very pleased to be invited to come down and do a couple of sessions here. And I didn't really know what to expect. It's the very first one. I think a lot of people have come that I already know from around the world. They've travelled a long way to be here. They've really supported it. There's some great sponsors on board. Everybody who you would hope to see and expect to see is here. And it feels like the birth of a new Radio Days. It's kind of like mirroring what happened 10 years ago for Radio Days Europe, which started at a similar size and has grown to, you know, an incredible event now. So I really hope that this can continue. I know it's coming back here again next year to Kuala Lumpur. I hope I get invited again.
Your career spans three continents, doesn't it? I mean, obviously, UK, but also Middle East and more recently, Asia as well. You spent a lot of time in Singapore.
Yeah, I did. I really enjoyed that. Yeah, I did most of my my radio apprenticeship and had some great fun in the UK and worked on some great brands there, Smooth and Real Radio, which was a particular favourite of mine, and various others. And eventually, I kind of thought, well, I've kind of done everything I want to in UK radio, and I think I've timed out pretty well because, you know, what's happened since I left has been quite sad to see, you know, particularly in terms of, you know, a lot of people who are really talented people not being able to find work due to the reduction of opportunity. So I moved to Dubai in 2016. I had 2 years there looking after Dubai 92 for ARN. And then last year I was lucky enough to be asked to go down to oversee the 11 stations at MediaCorp in Singapore. They are the biggest media provider in Singapore, and it's an incredible facility they've got. Fantastic. 11 stations, three of them in Mandarin, two Malay, one Tamil, and five English. That was a challenge for me, but there'd never been a head of radio before, so I went down there just to try and kind of bring my experience and my, you know, kind of best practices to radio there, because they were operating in very kind of diverse ways. Had great fun down there, and then as you say, I'm back in the UAE now at Channel 4 and really enjoying that.
So what do you think of the event? What sessions have you enjoyed here?
Well, I thought, we were just talking last night. I was out socially with Chris Stevens and Mike Cass and James Cridland, and we were talking about like the window that we now have on India as a market is mind-blowing. You know, it's the scale there and the way that listeners connect with their stations is, it blows away all of our statistics. You know, we can put statistics all day long on the screen, and then the guy gets up there and goes, this is what's going on in India, and you go, wow. So that was really insightful. And I think what you do see is, you know, it's really interesting to discover markets you haven't. I found that in Singapore, and I'm now getting more of an idea of, you know, of Asia itself and the Middle East, of course, and that can only be a good thing. I would really encourage people to come down and just kind of chat to people from different markets and get some great insights about the differences, you know?
Podcasting has built up a head of steam here, certainly at this event, hasn't it? Is it taking over radio?
No, it's not taking over radio. I think there's always something new coming along, and podcasts will exist. And it's like, you know, I'm a musician. Before I was in radio, I was a musician. And I remember growing up at a time, and synthesizers came along, and that'll be the end of live music. And then samplers came along, and that'll be the end of live music. And live music's now stronger than ever. Human interaction, that's what radio is all about. Nobody's ever invented anything better than radio, because it's instant human interaction. It's free and it's easy. You don't even have to press a button. You just get in your car and it's there. And, you know, all of these things that come along, they're fantastic. Social media, amazing, you know, different ways of... We were all given the opportunity to indulge ourselves with playlists a few years ago. You know, Apple Music came along. You can make playlists. Brilliant. And you make them for a couple of months, and then I can't remember the last time I ever made a playlist. So we like things to be easy. We like things to be free. We like things to be instant. And radio is still live. A lot of the stuff that we consume through our phone is actually, you know, it's shared content, but it's not live content. It's not happening right now. It's not like you and I talking, and that's what radio's got over it. Podcasts, I think, are very, very interesting, but the pie is getting bigger. We spend more time consuming entertainment through our phones and through smart speakers and all that kind of stuff. It's not like radio's actually shrinking because of this. It's just that we spend more time in the entertainment environment. So all of these things, I think, complement radio, and I think they work well together commercially as well. You know, I think there's so many, you know, digital and radio and podcasting and all of that kind of stuff just kind of works all together. But at the core of it, radio is still going to be strong. And podcasts, yeah, great. I listen to podcasts, of course I do. But I also listen to music that isn't on the radio, because we need some downtime away from it as well. But yeah. The pie's getting bigger. I think the bigger concern is, you know, that we've got to be responsible and make sure that we just don't oversaturate humankind with digital technology, and that we all make sure that we go and have a walk by the river now and again in silence.
You touched on it briefly, the UK and the state of it at the moment in some ways is very vibrant with lots of big national brands now, but of course the consolidation has caused some headache to some people. What are your thoughts from afar, if you like?
Well, it's the people you feel for. This was always going to happen, and, you know, I have to say, you know, I'm not Global's biggest fan, but what they have absolutely nailed is their brands, you know, and I was part of that journey. We were Real Radio. We rebranded that to Heart, you know, Capital. I was part of the Smooth story as well. And you see that they've done it really, really, you know, the strategy has been very, very strong. They've now consolidated, as expected. The one that I guess was a surprise to me, and I'm really pleased to see it because I was at Smooth in the Northeast, is that Smooth has kept its local breakfast shows, which is great. All of the others haven't, and it's those people you feel for because you know them and you like them and you know how hard they worked and how much they, you know, how passionate they were about making their radio. And the job reductions is the sad thing, but if we're honest, you know, many, many years ago, too many licenses were given, and it was never going to be sustainable. You know, the digital world has broken down a lot of that regulation, and radio, in order to survive, has had to become lean and trim. But yeah, I'm sad, and I'm kind of glad I'm away from it, because I wouldn't have liked to have had to go through that painful process, and I wouldn't like to be trying to get a job in UK radio now.
John Kirby, radio man through and through. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Cheers.
And thank you to James Ross. Fantastic stuff. Really enjoyed some of those interviews. Just ahead of James Cridland, you got to mention there, a quick word about Clean Feed. It's a great way of doing OBs or interviews for your show from a remote location, getting a guest or a presenter in great quality. Clean Feed has been designed for radio people and for podcasters, and it's really simple to connect in live audio over the web in great quality, and you can even record it within your browser. Clean Feed won't cost you anything to get started. It'll just take you 30 seconds to sign up, and within minutes you'll be doing your first live interview or recording. Find out more about it at cleanfeed.net.
I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist, and as Google knows, I'm in Kuala Lumpur today in Malaysia. Google knows exactly where I am. It knows where I was yesterday and what airline I used to travel here. Google knows what news stories I read this morning, what's in my diary for tomorrow. It knows what music I listen to, what shops I visit, who I email, when I email, how much money I have in the bank, what time I go to bed, what time I wake up, when I have a coffee, what rate my heart is beating. Google knows what medical problems I have and what medical problems I think I have. When searching the internet, Google's results for me are tuned to my interests. They hide things that they don't think I should read. And Google presents to me every day a list of news stories selected especially for me. It's a good job they're not evil, isn't it? Facebook, too, knows where I go and who I talk to and who my friends are. Facebook knows how old I am, if I'm feeling happy or sad. Facebook knows where I live, and using artificial intelligence based on the stories I read and the conversations I have, Facebook can work out how I vote. And Facebook presents to me every day a list of news stories and conversations that it thinks are like. and deliberately hides from me the conversations and the news stories that it thinks I won't like. And it's a good job Facebook isn't giving this data to anybody else. Radio has a unique power. When I listen to the radio, I listen to people with common interests to me. They live in the same place or like the same music. But because it isn't ultra-personalised like Google or Facebook can be, it can help people see both sides of the argument. It can help people discover stories they otherwise were unaware of. It helps connect people. And instead of polarising people to one belief or the other, helps understanding and harmony. Radio is incredibly, uniquely powerful. When used properly, radio is able to bring us together as communities, as nations, as people. Radio can help our audience feel included in their community and their world, and can have many positive effects on mental health, social inclusion, and understanding of our fellow human beings. So as I sit here in Radio Days Asia, it strikes me that we all need to remember the power that we all have access to. It's the power of radio. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening. And now on the Radio Today programme, here's David Lloyd.
Radio Moments.
He was just 25 years old when he joined Radio 1. Now he's still with the BBC across at Radio 2. Happy 65th birthday, Steve Wright.
Rise and shine, wakey wakey. It's coming round to 11 minutes to 8. Radio 210 coming at you. 210 metres medium wave, 1431 kilohertz, 97 FM in stereo.
Now then, pay attention. This is Radio Luxembourg, the exact time by Seiko Quartz at 9 o'clock.
Compiled from news agencies around the world, this is Radio Luxembourg News.
The news at 9 with Steve Wright. The French police have released details of a telephone...
Now then, tomorrow evening's star special is with a footballer. And I mention that because I mentioned football earlier on and we've had several matches played this afternoon, as you know.
It's 3 o'clock in Great Britain. Live from the studios of 1FM, it's Steve Wright in the Afternoon, 1993.
Merry Christmas! All right, hello, how you doing? Last minute Christmas shopping? You and me both. The Posse are here, and what a show we have for you today. Oh, it's going to be a beautiful day today, Wednesday, 27th of April, 1994. Good morning, this is Steve and the Posse. How are you? Another warm day, up to 20 Celsius, mainly clear and partly sunny right now, 13.
Summer 1999. Steve Wright in the Afternoon.
Hello. This is Steve here on Radio 2. How you doing there? All right. So nice to be back with you. I just can't tell you. Partly cloudy, partly sunny, scattered thunder.
Steve Wright, 65 years old this week. Heard there on Radio 210, as it was in Reading. Radio Luxembourg, his first show on Radio 1. His last Radio 1 afternoon show, a slice of his Radio 1 breakfast show, and his first Radio 2 afternoon show. Key 103 had a few breakfast presenters in its 30-year history, and this week, 30 years ago, it was time for Steve Penk to have a go.
Good morning!
Steve Penk, 103!
I'm sorry to tell you this, but a new series of Family Fortunes with Les Dennis starts this Friday. I mean, I couldn't believe it myself. I mean, when I found out yesterday, I've been depressed all weekend, but sadly, that's the way it is. Anyway, here we are. We've arrived. The fabulous new breakfast show. The only thing I'm not happy about is the fact that they changed the programme schedules just in time for winter when it's very dark outside. Getting up at 4 in the morning when it's at minus 58 outside. You're not stupid, are you, Grundy?
Steve Penk's first Key 103 breakfast in Manchester this week in 1989. Simon Bates once ruled Sunday tea times with his booming voice on the top 40, and that spell ended this week 40 years ago.
275, 285, and also stereo VHF, Radio 1 across the country, with a new number one, and welcome to... If anyone had to beat the Boomtown Rats, it had to be Cliff. We don't talk anymore. Will it be number one next week? Who knows? Thanks to the engineers over the last 2 years, and also to Bernie Andrews, but especially to Pinky, and to you for being tolerant. I'm going back to the stable now. I'll be spending my Sundays with the horses. listening to Tony Blackburn on Britain's Top 40.
Simon Bates ending his first run as regular host of the Top 40 this week in 1979. Rebranding has become commonplace, but it used to be a lot rarer. This week in 1991, after 16 years of Pennine Radio,
Pennine Radio 235,
Bradford's commercial station changed its name.
So if you've just turned your radio on and you wonder what on earth is happening, we are The Pulse, playing all hits all day. It's day one. I'm Elliot Webb. If you have just found us, don't dare leave us, because do you realise you are now part of the UK's newest and most exciting radio station? We'll be telling you how you could become a millionaire in this hour, and also how we could...
The Pulse, beginning this week 28 years ago. Radio Durham was one of the BBC's original local stations, but it didn't last long. It opened in 1968, but then when the government restricted the BBC to 20 local stations, the corporation closed it down this week in 1972. Here's its final morning, starting with Radio 2 saying goodbye as Durham opted out of the network.
Where visibility is as low as 10 yards in places, so watch out on the M2 and A2 in Kent. Today is a very sad day for BBC Radio Durham. It's their last day of broadcast, and if you're listening up in the Durham area, you're probably more likely than not on VHF listening to Radio Durham. Well, it's closing down today, as you probably know only too well, and shutting up shop for about a year before the new radio station, BBC Radio Carlisle, opens up, I suppose, in about a year's time. Well, now you're about to leave us and do your own thing up in Durham, so let me hand you over to Eric Wise.
Thanks very much, Peter Donaldson, and indeed it is my privilege to be with you on this very last morning. So what do I say but good morning? This is BBC Radio Durham opening up for the very last time on 94.5 VHF and Rediffusion.
Farewell, BBC Radio Durham, this week in 1972. I've got the final week's programme schedule here, actually. Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, Stir Gently. Great programme titles back then. This is the programme to make you sit up whilst you're lying down. With news and selected repeats. 9:30 in the morning, it's Studio 2. What? Uninterrupted music, specially designed for weekend listening. 10 o'clock... They're short shows, these are. 10 o'clock, it's Surprising with Faye Watson and Ian Gardenhouse. Something to do and somewhere to go, including Super Geordie. 10:30, an international concert with the Hartlepool Youth Brass Band. 11 o'clock, what's this? The VHF set. That's the title. For the last time, Chris Lewis presents his roundup of the pop scene in County Durham, with dedications from outside studios and the radio car, and introduces you to the pop DJs from radios Newcastle and Teesside. Those were the days, weren't they? Right, 1990 now, and the BBC are trying something new.
You're listening to BBC Radio 5 on Monday, the 27th of August, 1990, as the clock ticks towards the launch of Britain's first new national network in 23 years on 909 and 693 AM.
Good morning. Welcome to Radio 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 8, 5.
Welcome to the brand new network and the first special holiday programme on Radio 5. Take 5. I'm Bruno Brooks. We've got some great music for you.
The start of BBC Radio 5, that station lasted 4 years. So, with the last Ian Dale Drive show on LBC 1 year ago...
It's been an absolute blast. Have a great weekend. See, I'm determined to get to the end of this without blubbing. I'm going to leave you in the capable hands of Andrew Pearce.
Commercial radio arriving in Sussex 36 years ago.
The Southern Sound theme written by David Arnold and played by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra.
And drama on board Radio North's International 49 years ago.
And now the tug, the Husky, is now approaching Nebo 2 with approximately 20 men on board. Rather large, I might add. And they appear that they're going to attempt to cut the anchor chain on the Nebo 2. We have 6 sailors on this boat, we have 7 disc jockeys, and it doesn't look like we have the size nor the numbers to take care of ourselves.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David, James and Roy, and a massive thanks to James Ross this week. His very interesting interviews at Radio Days Asia. Next time on the Radio Today programme, it'll be our September roundtable discussion and the return of Trevor Dan.
the Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassar.